Good afternoon and welcome to a live edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Hi, I'm Byron Tyler. We're glad to have you along as we welcome Multinational Ministries, Lori Graves. Lori is the director. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Now, we have a common thread. Yes. Your husband.
Yes, my dear husband, David Morris.
David and I go way back to Mid-South Bible College.
Yeah.
I can still picture him wearing those three-piece suits.
Pretty much so. He has mellowed some in his older age, though. Okay.
I don't want to put him on the spot here, but there's one guy has a contagious love for Christ.
Yes.
Who is the real deal.
He is, and he's the kindest, sweetest man still in the whole world.
I believe that.
He is.
And he comes from good stock.
He sure does.
The Morris family are just good folks.
Oh, nobody like them.
Something else, Lori. I have been trying. No amount of money, no amount of persuasion will get your brother-in-law, Eli.
Oh, my goodness.
On the show with me. And we've been friends for a number of years.
I'm not there.
He always finds excuses. I don't know. Every time. We've actually had scheduled programs to come on. Of course, we're talking about Eli Morris, the associate pastor there
at
Hope Church with Rufus.
Great folks.
Yeah, great folks. But anyway, I'm excited that you guys are
an item. Thank you. Thank you. Me too.
But Lori, I did not realize that the multinational ministries, 26 years. Let's back up. Yeah. Give us some backstory.
Sure. Multinational Ministries began right there in Midtown Memphis. It was post-Vietnam War, way before I came along. I've been there about 16 years. And, you know, post-Vietnam War, as Southeast Asian refugees came into the country, they were then funneled to different resettlement agencies around the country. Here in Memphis, Catholic Charities was a resettlement agency. So as Southeast Asian refugees came into the country, they came to Memphis, came to Catholic Charities, then Catholic Charities resettled them right there along the, right at Poplar and Cleveland. And so for many, many, many years, that whole neighborhood there was full of Southeast Asian refugees. And in fact, at that time, Bruce Elementary School was the only school in Memphis that had any English as a second language students at all. And so, but then through the years, like I say, I came on staff about 16 years ago as the children's director. And about 10, you know, 11 years ago or so, the neighborhood started becoming more multinational and not just Southeast Asian. And so now Multinational Ministry serves folks from 20 different countries, all different languages, all different religions, and it's just a really delightful thing. But when Multinational Ministries did begin, the director spoke Vietnamese.
Really?
He had been a missionary in Vietnam.
So how many languages do you speak?
Oh, I can get by on broken Spanish, okay? And I can call you a liar in Vietnamese. But I learned that from the Vietnamese boys. But you really don't have to know another language. You know, since English is our common language here in this country, we work on that. And there's always someone who knows a little bit more, a little bit less than we do.
Well, Lori, we were talking just before going on microphone about the difference between immigrants and immigration, which we're hearing a lot about in the news right now, in contrast to refugees.
Right.
Can you describe the difference?
Yes. To be an official refugee, you have to go through a very long process. You know, I think a lot of folks sometimes think a refugee can flee their country and be here in a matter of months, and that isn't true at all. There are many times, most times, years worth of paperwork and vetting and things that must be gone through before a family might be.
Case in point, I was interviewing a couple of years back, and I'm trying to recall his name, but he was in a situation somewhere around Nepal, I believe, but there had been a political uprising, you know, a military takeover of his country, and his family was forced to become a refugee in actually another country before they moved here.
Right.
And they lived in this refugee camp, and they were actually given a pile of sticks, literally, and said, build your home, where they lived for four years. And there was, I think, 10 in the family.
Yeah. In the process of, like you say, becoming a refugee, many times they spend many years in refugee camps with very little of nothing before they are actually granted the status of refugees. Then when they come here to the States, when they're cleared and they come here as a refugee, there are other services provided for them specifically as a refugee for a certain number of months, as far as, you know, just some help getting started, help with English classes and whatnot. After a certain amount of time, their refugee status goes away.
Okay.
And that's when being considered an immigrant would probably come in. And of course, also the folks who come in without the refugee process, folks who will just right. come here, you know, like we will consider the folks from south of our border who come here immigrants. In reality, in my opinion, many of them should be considered refugees in that they are fleeing very, very, very dangerous situations. But there's really not a process to become. There's not much of a process to become a refugee from that.
Exactly.
But
there,
that would be the difference between refugees have a specific status where immigrants would not.
I would say it's about 17, maybe 18 years ago, our family, we were living on the island of Guam. We were serving with a mission organization yeah. called Transworld Radio. Yeah. While we were there, there was an influx of refugees mm-hmm. who were fleeing. There were Kurdish refugees of fleeing northern Iraq because at that time, you know, Saddam Hussein was mm-hmm. doing some atrocities to that area of the world. But the CIA planes were bringing, and I guess Guam was acting as kind of the main processing place when mm-hmm. they first left Iraq. So they came there first before they went anywhere else. Some of our team, we volunteered with Salvation Army, who went to the airport at like 2 o'clock in the morning to greet these refugees. And Lori, I'm telling you, mm-hmm. I've got a chill running down my back right now just remembering the gratitude. And mm-hmm. these people had left everything behind, didn't have just their clothes on their backs. And I remember seeing some of the ladies just kissing the mm-hmm. ground when they landed on. And I remember just handing cold water and then playing with the kids. Oh, my yeah. goodness. It, just thinking about what they had to experience.
I don't think we really, none of us can understand unless we've been through something like that, to totally leave everything behind and have nothing, which is what the vast majority of refugees or all of them have to deal with. And that's the leaving everything, having nothing, going to a place where you have nothing. And many times being in a place where other folks don't want you there. It's a really hard situation for them all.
Now, your purpose or your mission statement on your website says mm-hmm. you are a Christian organization mm-hmm. that shows kindness to refugee and immigrant families in Memphis, Tennessee, helping them to find their way, understand this culture, achieve academic success, and feel the love of God.
Right. That's what we do. We are very purposeful, not political in the sense that we do not petition or try to bring refugees and immigrants into our city or country. Neither do we try to remove them. We very much believe that God has told us two things really strongly, and that is one of them is to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Huge. The second thing is to love our neighbor as ourself. And very maybe pragmatically, in our city, there's several hundred thousand refugees and immigrants that are here. And they were here this morning, and they're going to be here tomorrow, and they're going to be here the next day. So what does God call us to do as Christians? And also, what is the best thing for our city? And so as Christians, we believe God calls us to love them as much as we can. And so we try to do that in ways that make them feel welcome and make them feel God's love. You know, because so many of the families who will come to multinational ministries are from different faiths. Many of them are Muslim. Many of them are Buddhist. It is important for them to see what God's love looks like. They don't always see God's love.
Well, I was going to say many of them have a distorted view coming from mm-hmm. some of the countries because mm-hmm. when they look at Western Christianity, right. they right. compare, you know, what they see on television and they're right. taught that this is what Christianity
right.
is.
Exactly.
So this is a chance for the church to paint a true picture.
Exactly. And, you know, there are things like, we do have a fairly large number of Middle Eastern women who come to our English classes. You know, the story I tell is that several years ago, one of my co-workers was going to take them to go get coffee. The women were thrilled. They were so excited. They all went to Starbucks. And when they got to Starbucks, the Yemeni women would not get out of the car. And my co-worker saying, come on, come get coffee. They said, no. You get the coffee for us, and we will drink it in the car. And she said, no, come on. And the women said, no, people do not look at us with nice eyes. People always look at us with mean eyes. And quite frankly, to me, that's, I think, what so many of the refugee immigrant families feel. You know, no matter where they come from, they do not feel like they belong or that they're loved. And that's what we really try to do at Multinational Ministries is shower them and show them God's love. A lot of times people will ask me, why do families who are Muslim and Buddhist come to multinational ministries because we are overtly Christian and we say so. But I think that everyone who is there feels God's kindness, feels God's acceptance. There is never any threat. We can tell them anything we can about who we believe that Jesus Christ is. And there's a conversation that goes back and forth. And it's just a beautiful place.
You know, I have found in many conversations I've had with those, and particularly those mm-hmm. that are from countries and maybe Islamic belief, mm-hmm. they have some very sincere questions about Jesus Christ. And they want to ask, they want to engage you, and they appreciate you taking time. You said something there mm-hmm. that I started to cry. Mm-hmm. When you said those ladies commented that they weren't looked at with nice eyes.
Right, right.
And Lori, when you said that, I was thinking about Jesus with the woman at the well.
Yeah.
Because here is a Samaritan woman who is an outcast yeah. by social standards. The Jews would literally go around, wait, even go through Samaria. But Jesus, yeah. I can imagine the compassion in his eyes that saw this woman where she was.
And that, I think, is the draw that Jesus has, that God has, is that true love that shines through him and hopefully shines through us. And that's what draws people, and that's what we need to be showing.
Basically, the way you operate mm-hmm. is through a source of, like many organizations, nonprofits, is a small staff and a mm-hmm. lot of volunteers.
Yes, sir. We do. We have just 4 full-time people, but then we have a many, many, many very part-time people who help specifically with our educational programs. Because we want to keep, we think one of the most important factors is the people factor, is the human factor, that kids are going to learn better one-on-one. They're not going to learn as much from a computer as they will from a person. So we try to have at least one teacher for every 3 or 4 children when they come to do their homework, and the same thing with the English classes. And also it's that relationship where not only will they learn more, but they'll be able to see more of who God is. Multinational ministries is nothing if not relational. Because we feel like that's how we're able to show Jesus Christ, and that's how we are, you know, able to help people learn.
Part of the process when somebody moves into mm-hmm. a new home, obviously, is setting that home up.
Right.
Also learning to sustain their own family
right.
through
right.
work and how to be responsible financially.
Right.
So do you guys offer all of this?
Right. Well, I tell you what, as far as that in particular goes, is not what Multinational Ministries does. We are sister ministries with others that do. Refugee Empowerment Program works very closely with folks who are here right at the beginning and have all of that very beginning things that they need. Of course, World Relief is here in Memphis now doing a great job. Mostly what we do is help folks in their everyday life as far as being able to communicate, being able to live in this life in Memphis, be able to do well in school, to be able to interact well with each other and to become good, upstanding members of our community. And so that's what we concentrate
okay,
on.
Okay, so give us a mm-hmm. day-to-day okay. example and walk us through what it's like.
Okay, a day at Multinational Ministries. Monday morning at 9:30, you will see about 40 to 50 women from many different countries. Most of these women are from the Middle East. That come to Multinational Ministries for English classes, some very beginning English classes up through intermediate. They come, they learn. They're little preschool children, most who do not speak English. We have in a preschool readiness, just helping them to get used to an English-speaking environment. So when they start to school, they will have some understanding of that. Monday nights, we have a reading program, a one-on-one reading program that's been going on for about 15 years. Where we have volunteers read one-on-one with elementary school children. We have a little program and prize situation. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoons is when we have our homework help. And on Wednesdays, we have more what would be our Bible club kind of thing. And those are our main volunteerish programs. We also have many different things that involve the families with holidays, with Memphis field trips to help them get to know what Memphis is and for them to appreciate Memphis and to know the things that Memphis offers for their family so they feel like they are a part of our city.
Something also called Target Kids.
Target Kids, yes. That is our Wednesday, more of our little Bible club thing. And Target Kids, it's the T, the acronym stands for Tell the Truth, Even When It's Hard. accept responsibility for what you do and should do, respect others, be a good neighbor. Everybody plays fair and take care of each other. And these character traits we emphasize through Bible stories. And so it really works that no matter what religion they might come from, being able to teach God's word with these points works really, really well. And we really try to get the children to understand how to grow up to be a respectful, God-loving person.
Lori, you're giving the church an opportunity not to have an excuse to show Christ's love. I mean, like we mentioned in the beginning of the show here, there's this big debate on immigration.
I know.
Talking about the human life that's living here right now in our city, right, and the opportunity that we have. And just the basic things, teaching responsibility, respect for yourselves and others, to be a good neighbor, playing fair, taking care of each other. These are things that any civilization needs to be able to have.
I know. Yeah, I will say something interesting at Multinational Ministries with the volunteers that we have. And as I say that we are not a political group, we will have volunteers who've been with Multinational Ministries for years that are on both sides of the fence from one extreme to the other. Some who have very, very, very conservative immigration opinions, and some who are very, very liberal ones. Right. But they are there at Multinational Ministries because they love the children and they believe that God has told us to love our neighbors. And there's a sense at which your political views do not negate that command to love our neighbors. And so that's where we kind of stand on all of that. It's a very interesting situation.
Well, now, do you guys receive federal grants, federal money or monies to be able to do what you do?
We personally do not get any federal grants. Most of our funding comes through a few foundations here in Memphis and then area churches and individual donations.
And this is why I want to move in before we close, and I think is a delicious way to talk about supporting you guys, is through the food truck.
Right.
And it's the Smoking Pigs food truck.
Right. We have started that. We've hit a few bumps in our road with that, but it's a great idea.
Is it actually operational right now?
It was. We did it for about 6 months. We're kind of revamping a few things in there, but we have sold barbecue for years as a fundraiser, so that still might be happening too.
And another practical way our listeners can help is by giving needed stuff lying around the house. You might, like ladies do sometimes, and men, I do too, walk into one of those super sales and buy 4 for 1. Those items can practically be given through the ministry here to help out. Talk about that.
Well, there are a lot of things that we can always use. Some of the things are just kind of silly, like bottled water are things that we can always use, considering that there could be 100 to 150 kids at a program every afternoon. You know, bottled water is a great thing. First aid supplies are huge. Craft supplies are huge. Little dollar store toys are huge because we give those away for prizes for reading and academic successes and stuff. So dollar store toys we always need.
Board games.
You know what? Board games are a great way to help teach children, limited English-speaking children, how to speak English. Because when you're talking, you're interacting, you're using English, it works. They just work great.
So when we talk about volunteers, what would be some of the specific opportunities you could use a volunteer for?
Actually, all of the programs that I just mentioned, we need people for. For English for Moms, we need table teachers. You don't necessarily have to be you don't have to be any sort of certified teacher. You just have to be a woman who enjoys being with other women and sitting at a table with them and helping them through the classwork. We have homework help for the children, for the elementary children, and it's just helping them do their homework and work on basic skills. Monday night reading is just sitting and reading with and or to little kids. And then, of course, we have our Wednesday Target thing, which is, includes a Bible story along with everything else. So.
Multinationalministries.com is the website. Multinationalministries.com. I encourage you to go to that website, Bot Radio Network listeners. Look for opportunities you can give, opportunities you can serve. Do this as a family project. Do this as a church group. However you want to do it, it's a great opportunity to serve. And so, Lori, I'd like to invite you to come back in the future. And if you want to invite some clients to come back and share their stories,
I will.
This will be great. Lori, thank you so much for what you do for Christ's kingdom through the work that God's called you to. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Friends, that's all the time we have on today's Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for tuning in on this live show. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.